to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Always got to take a few deep breaths, right?
Yep. Ready?
So, how you doing, Jill Wickner?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Girl, I'm telling you, I'm busy. Super duper busy. I have to schedule time in my schedule to not do nothing.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You know, I schedule in a nap. Do you still take naps?
Once in a while, yeah, I love to. Like on a in the winter on a cold day, it's like Harry Potter, hot chocolate, and then nap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you've mentioned a couple things. You said Harry Potter, and you like archery. Are you into LARPing or role play? Do you like any of that good stuff?
What was that first thing? Did you say LARPing?
Uh huh.
I don't even know what that is.
LARPing is like interactive role play. My daughter is into that. They get dressed up and, I mean, you know, they pick a theme and they go out and they talk in the language of the people. I mean, they just totally transform themselves, right? You can't get a word in edgewise. If you're a normal human being, there's no sense in you going.
I've never done that. I've never even heard of it, but it sounds kind of fun.
Oh, girl, it's crazy. So we're here on the edge where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Brains all the way from the suburbs of Pennsylvania. We got my guest right there, the beautiful Jill Wickner. I told her I'm just loving that wispy hair.
Thank you.
Only a shorter version.
Yeah, but it's nice, and you have the hat too, so I love it.
Well, thank you, and I love you. Brains, we're going to talk about something that's very important to business, but also to certain people's lives. We're going to talk to Jill about her profession. She is into copywriting and content for small businesses. Now, what is that? We're not talking about the copyright that protects your intellectual property. We're talking about copy and content, how to put power and punch and pizzazz into what you say, how you deliver, because it's a different world now. You've got to be warm and fuzzy to people online with your words, because that's going to be your first introduction. It's not a whole lot of that networking and, you know, the social events and the, you know, the networking. So she's going to talk to us about that, but she's also going to share something with us about her personal life, about Lyme disease. And I have a family member that contracted Lyme disease. So we'll go into that a little bit later, but let's welcome her to the edge. How are you today, Jill?
I'm great, and I'm so excited to be here having this chat with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to have you here. So tell us a little bit about your story and introduce yourself to my brains.
Oh, well, hi, brains. It's great to meet everybody. I have to say, too, I love how you just described copywriting when you're talking about putting the punch in there, because that's such a big part of what I do, making that emotional connection through your written copy. But basically how I got started, I had been in the pharmaceutical industry for a while, over a decade. I was feeling less and less inspired doing that. And eventually I became seriously ill with Lyme disease. I wound up losing my job as a result. And I went through that dealing with the illness for about a year and a half.
Let me just stop you right there. You worked for Big Pharma.
Yes.
Okay. And you lost your job.
Yes, I did. It's Lyme and tick-borne diseases. Even today, they're still so misunderstood, I think, in the medical community. There's a lot of debate. You have doctors telling you, oh, it's all in your head. It doesn't exist.
What?
So at that time, I was on short-term disability. And when I went to transition to long-term, they had a stack of paperwork showing the legitimacy of my claim. And they said, nah, we don't think this is a real thing. So that's how I lost that job.
But it's very, very hard to detect, you know, and to actually pinpoint what Lyme is. But we'll go into that in a minute. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I just couldn't believe that.
No, yeah, I know. It's what people deal with this disease is infuriating at times, but you know, after everything I went through with that, it just really changed my perspective. And I just didn't want to waste another minute or an ounce of energy doing a job that I just didn't really, that didn't excite me, that didn't challenge me. And I wanted to do something creative that mattered to me. And once I made that decision, it was a no-brainer. Writing was it. I knew my work was going to go into my passion for words and their ability and power to affect people. So I took a risk and I started that business. And that was just over 8 years ago. And I'm still in business with that ever since.
You're thriving. Tell my Grace, what is copyright and the content? What actually do you do for small businesses?
So what I do, I work with small business owners and entrepreneurs, and I basically help them grow more engaged and connected audiences through strategic storytelling and high converting copy that connects and converts. And it's optimized to grow and market your business. So any of your written content that you put out with your business, it could be your website content, your blog posts, your emails to your subscribers, your sales pages, and so on. Any piece of written content for your business.
Give us some ideas of where are attractive ways of drawing new customers.
Of drawing new customers. So for a business,
it's like, I know it's indicative to each individual business, but outside of that, I mean, what sort of power adjectives, what are people looking for? What is eye-catching? Because you know, you've only got like 30 seconds. And then after they're done with you.
I know, with attention spans these days, it's like if you don't capture it quickly, especially now with the online space becoming more and more crowded, you've got to stand out. So I think what's so important for people, for business owners, is that, you know, you have this effective copy that could be very powerful. It positions you as a trusted expert. You want copy that attracts and engages the right audience and increases your visibility and builds people's confidence in you. So you want to create an emotional connection with your readers, because that's what makes people feel, you know, seen and heard and understood, right? It keeps them coming back for more. And you also want content that educates people, because someone who needs your service might have no idea that they need it and what it can do for them and how it can transform their life or their business. But the right copy that makes that clear, you're going to have people who, instead of shrugging it off, are saying, oh my God, I need this. I need this in my life.
Right. And so, you know what, you really, I think when I read things, is you are talking to, speaking to, and selling to value. You know, what is it? It's like a nail salon. You wouldn't talk about tires. You would talk about beauty and comfort and luxury. You use those big $25 words, as I like to call them, a lot of power adjectives.
Yeah.
Is imaging important too when creating copy?
Oh yeah, I think it's definitely important. For example, your website design, you have the written content aspect of it, but that along with the visual imagery, that's what really solidifies your overall brand. And it helps, you know, it's, people aren't just reading your words, they're connecting with you. And imagery really helps to deepen that connection and to pull in the right people. And you want things that are eye-catching, that get attention, but are still in line with your brand.
And I'll say this, you know, I won't put you in an awkward predicament, but I find in the Black community, a lot of times, if they are looking to reach out and capture a much broader audience, because newsflash, the world's not all Black. And it's not all white. But right. I see a lot more people, when you put imagery onto your website or into your content, make it global, make it inclusive. Because you're really, unless you are, you know, in that niche and you're specifically targeting a specific audience, you're pigeonholing yourself. And a lot of times people are intimidated, they're fearful, or they don't think that you really have the wherewithal or wanting to talk to a more diverse group. So you have to be very careful. And, you know, that could be Hispanic, that could be Asian. You know, if you're trying to branch out, wouldn't you agree that you should just kind of be you know, just kind of throw a wide blanket out there.
And I do. And to a point too. So like you said, if you have a very specific niche, so if your ideal client or customer is someone from the Black community or from the Asian community or whomever, then yeah, it's fine to appeal to that group. Because sometimes people get in trouble if you're trying to appeal to and please everybody,
right?
Your message could get lost. However, if you do reach out, if there's a diverse group of people out there who could be your ideal clients and customers, then absolutely open that up and let people see what you do so you can help a wider array of people.
So how did you get involved in actually, you know, writing copy and content? Obviously, you're a great writer and editor. I'm a good writer, but girl, I'm not an editor. That's work. That's skill.
Yeah. When I started out, you know, I started just writing, I was writing resumes and doing smaller one-off projects. And something that I heard so frequently from people was either that they hate writing or they don't have the time to write. They need to focus elsewhere. And a big one that I heard from people who did not like their website copy. They felt that their websites actually undermined their expertise. They were embarrassed to show them off. And I thought, wait, really? Is this happening with people? They have websites out there and they want to hide them? That's counterproductive. So I thought, okay, there's a need here to help people with this. And that's when I started strongly pursuing website copy, blogs, email marketing, and so on.
All right. So let's dive into a little bit of some of those, because websites, mm-hmm. You know, honestly, are people really still going to websites? You know, I know that it's like your business card. You need to have one, because people say, oh, let me check out your website. But they don't go past page one or two. So you got to have that power and punch as soon as they click on the page.
Yeah, it needs to be immediately clear to the person coming to your website who you are, what you do, what you provide, and how you can help them. Because, yeah, they will bounce quickly if that's not very, very clear. But I think the key is your website shouldn't just be sitting out there stagnant. A website that has strong, effective copy, in addition to great imagery, to you know, really make clear what your brand is, should always be working for you in the background, kind of on autopilot. Mm-hmm. So it's bringing in qualified leads on its own. You have your SEO strategy in there. You're consistently updating your blog so that you could be focused on other things like growing your business, building your program, launching your book, and your website's working for you in the background and bringing in prospects and the right ones.
Right. And you know what? It's not about how many emails you send out, brains. It's the open rate. Okay. It's really, yeah. You know, you can have a whole page this long. Again, attention span. You have to introduce what you're talking about and find it interesting in the first paragraph, or people are not going to give you that attention. And again, you know, like you said, with websites, I'm glad to know that. Are people still blogging heavily now?
People are still blogging. It's a strong content marketing strategy. It's a great thing to be doing.
Good. That's great. That seems like it's a lot of fun too. So in order to be a great copy and content writer, you must be an avid reader.
I am an avid reader. Since I was a kid, that was probably my first passion. I absolutely love reading.
What are you reading right now?
I am reading a book by Stephen King called The Institute.
Oh, boy.
He's my favorite. Yeah, he's my favorite author, but I read many different authors, but that's the one I'm into right now.
Would you ever consider writing a book or a novel?
Yes, I would absolutely love that. If that were to come up, if I could think of how to do it the right way, that would be a dream.
You know how to do it. It's just if you want to do it. What would you write about?
I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe copywriting. I'd have to think about that.
I can see you with those bright, bright, beautiful eyes. I could see you, you know, writing a love story or writing a mystery or maybe writing the story of someone that is, you know, has Lyme disease. Tell us a little bit about Lyme disease. Before that, let me tell you what happened to me. My family member was horseback riding and she got tossed from a horse. And we had to wave down the helicopter to rescue her. Well, not only did she get hepatitis C because of bad blood, but she was also bit by a tick and she contracted Lyme. And let me tell you, she has been through hell and back. Number one, trying to actually narrow it down. And there's not very many doctors that specialize in Lyme and really know what they're doing. She was overdosed on antibiotics to the point where she was almost a little psychotic. You know, we've had to put her in a facility because I didn't know antibiotics could do that to you, you know, and to really try to find out the right recipe. So what would you, number one, identify what Lyme disease is. And then secondly, what are some of the characteristics or some of the things that people should question or ask about if they feel that they are, you know, are a victim to this disease? Because it's serious.
Yeah, it is. And first of all, I'm so sorry that your family member is dealing with this because,
she's,
you know, if
now we got her off the antibiotics and she hasn't been in the hospital in three years.
Good. Ah, that's fantastic. Yeah. If you get Lyme disease and it's diagnosed and treated properly, timely, then you can have a short treatment and be done with it and be fine. So basically it's Lyme disease is a disease that's transmitted by ticks. And they carry not only Lyme disease, but several co-infections that could go along with it. So for example, I have not only Lyme, but I have two of the co-infections. And it's very misunderstood. It's difficult to diagnose. And they call it the great imitator because the symptoms that someone gets, they imitate so many other illnesses and problems. And what is really needed is, as you said, there are few doctors who really understand the disease and how to properly diagnose and treat it. Mm-hmm. And so many patients just deal with such dismissive behavior from doctors because it's still so misunderstood. They don't have proper, I don't want to say they don't have proper testing, but testing needs to be improved. Right. You know, what people go through, I remember when my husband practically carried me into the doctor's office. I was so sick and I looked like I had just survived zombie apocalypse. I mean, it was clear to anyone that there was something wrong. And the timing was bad because they just brought a new doctor in. So this was a new doctor who didn't know me. And he basically looked at me and I looked like death warmed over. And he said, it's women's stress. Women's stress. That's what I needed to be.
I would have got real well, real quick and probably scratched his eyes out.
I told my husband, I had said, if I were physically able to, I would be tempted to just drop kick him right there on the floor. I mean, it's infuriating. And so many people are told things like this, like, oh, you're just stressed. You're hormonal. It's all in your head. You're looking to get out of work. And unfortunately too, when we mentioned the Black community earlier, that just brought this to mind. I have heard through my work with a Pennsylvania Lyme nonprofit from several people who have called and said, we could have nipped this in the bud, but it's, you know, a Black person coming to me and saying, I went to the doctor and the doctor told me, oh, you're fine. Black people don't get Lyme disease. So I figured it's important to throw out there that anyone, including Black people, white people, anyone can get Lyme disease. So it's not a race thing or a skin color thing, it's a geography thing. So if you are where the ticks are, you're at risk. So I think that's important for people to know, because just knowing that there are doctors out there who are telling people these things, people need to be informed. So that's why through this nonprofit, we're working to raise awareness.
Well, I mean, and it can only be transmitted through a tick?
It's transmitted through ticks. And even now too, they're saying that spiders could transmit it. The tick habitats are expanding and things are changing. So the risk is increasing for people.
Do spiders eat ticks?
Maybe. Not that I know of. I know there are guinea hens. I don't know if you know what a guinea hen is. They eat ticks. And I know people who have bought them and have them on their property.
Wow.
For that reason.
And a tick is so small. You know, I see people that, you know, show the tick. They want you to get the whole tick out, but it's a bug. You pinch it with some tweezers and it may crush. Is it the actual biting? Do they inject something? You know, like spiders inject a serum or something inside of you. Is that kind of what happens with the tick as well? It has.
Yeah, it is, in fact. So they can be as small as a poppy seed. They can be very difficult to see on your skin. And they do inject something that numbs your skin. So you don't feel that you're getting bit. And once they're attached, they embed in your skin and they feed on you and they become engorged. Yeah. So then it's easier to see them. But by that time, they've already transmitted disease if it's a tick that's carrying disease.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
And so what are some of the symptoms? And I'm sure that it could vary from person to person, but overall I know it's the fatigue, it's, you know, being tired, but what else? Is it sweats? Is it headaches? Is it nausea? Is it vomiting? Is it leg cramps? What else could be some of the symptoms?
Yeah, it's any or all of those things. You might have flu-like symptoms that you feel, and because the disease can basically affect any part of your body, any organ, any system in your body. It could be almost anything, but very common symptoms, like you said, it's the fatigue, muscle and joint stiffness. Your joints could swell. You could suddenly have a sore, swollen knee and have no idea why, because you didn't do anything that should have made your knee swollen and painful. It could affect everything from your vision to your hearing to your heart.
Wow.
You might suddenly have an onset of anxiety. There are so many symptoms. And then some people, not everyone, I forget the percentage, but some people will get what they call a bullseye rash on their skin, but not everyone gets it. So if you do get it, it's a good idea to take a picture of it and bring that to your doctor.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
So is there, more with this nonprofit that you're working with, is there more research and development that is going into this and spreading awareness with outreach?
So our focus is education, prevention, patient support, and advocacy. So we have a Pennsylvania statewide program called Dare to Be Tick Aware that was a grant through the Pennsylvania Department of Health. So we offer seminars to community groups and corporations that are, you know, that help people become more aware. And we teach people how to better protect themselves and their family members and their pets, and how to make your yard safer. So when you're out there playing or your kids are playing, it's a safer place.
That's it. You know, I would take my dog over to the lake and I have to give him a good brush before he go in the house, because you don't know. And he was a little Pomeranian, so he was low to the ground. He was picking up everything, you know, poor thing. But the ticks don't affect animals the same way, do they?
They can affect your animal. I'm not sure if it's in the same way, but an animal could get sick and die from Lyme disease. But of course, you know, animals, dogs in particular, they have the collars, they have the vaccines. We need some of that for human beings. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude, we don't need another vaccine, girl, please.
I know.
It's too much. It is too much. So let's play let's get to know you. Let me ask you a few just random questions, okay?
Okay.
What are three things that you absolutely cannot live without?
Books, chocolate, and love.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's corny, but...
No, yeah. Corny? Girl, that is your lifeline, okay?
Yeah.
Love, that's all you need is love. They even wrote a song about it. Okay. So what is your favorite color and why?
Do I have a favorite color? I love like a deep olive green. It feels very earthy and grounded to me.
If you were an animal, what animal would you be and why?
I always immediately think of a dog, like a golden retriever, because it's just that unconditional love and people love them and they just seem so happy. And yeah.
Yeah. What would you tell a 25-year-old Jill Wixner?
Oh, God. I would say, don't stop hiding in the shadows. Stop stop living behind the scenes, that it's okay to shine a little bit. It's okay to put yourself out there and just not care about opinions or perfection, or stop what-ifing yourself to death and asking for permission to exist. Just get out there and enjoy being you.
Exactly. What qualities do you look for in a friend?
Oh my God, kindness, humor, loyalty, fun, just a kind, fun person where what you see is what you get.
And finally, tell us something that not very many people know about you.
What do people not know about me? I'm a huge Marvel fan. Huge. Yeah.
I'm LARPing, girl, I'm telling you.
Yes.
You do? So you like fantasy, and what would be your superhero? Who would you be?
I don't know. So I never read the comics. So I only know things as the movies and the shows come out. But I have to say I'm kind of loving Scarlet Witch right now.
Oh, all right. Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
So, well, you have been so fun and so open and honest. And thank you for educating us on Lyme disease. I know that there's going to be thousands of people that are going to listen to this interview. And a few of them may be, you know, feeling some of the signs or symptoms, or been out, you know, horseback riding or with their dog or whatever. And they feel that, you know, they may have been bit by a tick, and now they have a point of reference, at least to have a consultation with their doctor.
Yeah.
And then copyright and content. Brains, get it together. Okay. Because you only have one chance to make a first impression. You don't get a second chance. And people are just going to go over you. Do you realize how many people are out there now trying to, you know, jockey for position, trying to get a job, trying to get noticed, trying to get, you know, ad, trying to get their blog read? So work with an expert. And she's dedicated her life to this. She knows what she's doing. Work with someone like Jill Wixner to get your copy, your content. I'm going to put all of her information here on the back end of this video. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, precious.
Oh, well, there are two ways. You could email me at jill@jillwixner.com. It's W-I-C-H-N-E-R. Or you can contact me through my website at jillwixner.com.
Did you hear that, brains? jillwixner.com, right here on the edge. Go and subscribe to everything, okay? LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blog Talk, iTunes, Mixcloud, Spotify, yada, yada. We're all over the planet. We're here for you to give you what you need, okay? Thank you so much, Jill. Come back and see me, okay?
Thank you so much. I love this. Thank you.
I want to read the book. When we get offline, I'm going to talk to you about that book because I see a book in you. Bye, brains.